This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. In part three of our look at the Wall Street Journal's Time Higher Education College Rankings, we highlight how for students and families researching where to attend college, what happens in the classroom is just as important as what happens when a student graduates and embarks on a career. The Wall Street Journal's Melissa Korn joins us to discuss. Melissa, the Wall Street Journal and the Times Higher Education College Rankings gave engagement 20% of a school's total score in the rankings. And that places a lot of importance on things like how students can take the ability to think and apply that to the postgraduate world.
Yeah, so it's an acknowledgement that what happens in college or how you measure kind of the value of college experience isn't just about your salary at the time you graduate or even how many years it takes you to graduate, but what happens inside classrooms, inside libraries. So are your assumptions being challenged? Are you inspired by your peers? That really matters in, you know, a student's intellectual maturation.
And it's not just the big schools that succeed at doing this, right?
Right. It's actually it's a really broad mix of schools that top our charts. The only commonality between among some of them is that they're religious schools. So you've got Dort College, which is a very small school, less than 1,500 students in Iowa. And then there at the top, you've got Texas Christian University, Texas A&M, Brigham Young, which are all much larger institutions. So it really is a school-by-school thing. We can't just say just because a school is small, they have better engagement scores, or just because a school fits a certain profile.
Is this becoming a new area of competition among schools, or is this becoming a need that's been exposed as far as students being prepared to enter the outside world?
I think it's definitely a need that's been exposed in recent years. A lot of employers say that they can teach somebody the real technical skills, but they want to be hiring people who can think critically. You often hear about critical thinking voids or gaps. So yeah, employers want to see that students are actually learning things, not just learning rote memorization or studying for a test. And students, you know, they're paying big money. Their families are paying big money. So while they want the employment outcomes, they also want to know that their time in school is well spent.
And when it comes to these students coming through the schools and going out to the real world, the one thing that you point out in your stories in the Wall Street Journal is that schools are looking for as diverse a population as possible.
Yeah, so schools want diversity in a bunch of different ways. They want gender, socioeconomic, racial, and ethnic diversity among their students and among their faculty and staff as well. And the rankings actually measure some of that, the faculty diversity. And they want it in part because of optics. It looks good to have a student body that's reflective of the country at large or the world at large, but also because they say that it really does add some depth to classroom conversations, pushes people out of their comfort zones when their roommate is somebody who comes from the other side of the tracks, things like that. And we found that public universities, frankly, do a much better job of this. It's in part because they're drawing from their local communities. So urban schools, cities tend to be more diverse than rural farmlands. And so these graduates, these students, they'll come in from the local area. They'll stay nearby afterwards, too, which helps for the local economy. The thing that's interesting is the public universities, the ones that are doing the most to engage, recruit and retain these students, have the fewest resources to do that. So you have students who are often first generation of their family to go to college, low income families, and they're going to these schools that can't support them academically or with other resources the way that some of the really wealthy private schools could.
And the public schools, I guess there's a lower tuition there also, which might allow more diverse population to afford it?
So there is a lower sticker price, but some of the really elite private schools have so much financial aid available now that their net price, the out-of-pocket cost for students, is actually less than it would be at some publics.
You know, you talk about Stanford University in California, and they have an attractive program for students from families making under $65,000 a year.
Yeah, so students who come from really the lower income families under $65,000, they can end up paying nothing for tuition, room, and board. That's a significant amount of money that Stanford's putting forward to help those families.
That's an enormous savings.
Yes, absolutely. It makes it an option for these families. And a lot of the Ivy League schools have similar financial aid programs that even if you're earning well into the six figures, you might not actually be on the hook for that much in terms of tuition and at some schools room and board.
We're speaking to the Wall Street Journal's Melissa Korn about the Wall Street Journal Times Higher Education College Rankings. And you're listening to Your Money Matters here at the Wall Street Journal.
What are the keys to making better decisions in work and life? One of the most successful entrepreneurs and investors of our time, Ray Dalio, has written down his recipes for doing so in his new book, Principles. According to Michael Bloomberg, creating and living by a set of principles allowed Ray to reach the top. Everyone with goals and dreams can learn from his approach. To learn more or to hear Ray's TED Talk, visit principles.com.
Thanks for listening, everyone. So, Melissa, let's talk about these rankings as a whole. There's so much research available to students and families as far as where they're going to go to school and what city to go to school in and such. And there are thousands of universities and schools around the country. It must be important for these schools to rank high, whether it's a list measuring diversity or measuring student-to-teacher ratio, engagement, as we talked about. It's got to be important to them.
Yeah, it's absolutely important for any school to find a way to stand out. It is kind of a sea of colleges that when you look at their mission statements, things like that, a lot of them do look and sound very similar. So if a school can stand out and say, hey, our graduates get jobs, or hey, here's proof that we are a diverse learning community, or these days when the financial picture of colleges is in question at a lot of campuses, hey, we have the financial resources to continue to educate students going forward. That's a really great thing for a school. At the same time, if a school is just boasting about that one number, that's not enough for a student or a prospective student to make a decision on. And families, as you know, as we say throughout the rankings articles in the journal, this is a launch point. This is a starting off point for families. This is not the end-all, be-all way to make a decision about a school.
And oftentimes it's a family decision as well as the student's decision as to where they're going to go.
Absolutely. It's a huge financial investment for everybody.
All right. Melissa Korn in our studio. She covers higher education for the Wall Street Journal, talking about the Wall Street Journal Times Higher Education College Rankings. Melissa, thanks very much.
Thank you.